Welcome to Tavern Tales Junior, a curated live play 5e Dungeons & Dragons podcast for kids and adults. In Tavern Tales Junior, we take a group of kids on a fantastical adventure full of friendship, adventure, and excitement using a modified 5e rule set. This podcast is created by and for kids. This is meant to be relatable and enjoyable. So let's see where they want to take the adventure today.
I'm wondering if you'd go wandering with me through the wilderness and woods, to where the winds are blowing free. Through the darkness of the night, heading toward the morning light, I wonder if you'd wander with me. And I'll spread the word, and you beat the drum. We'll round up the troops and get the gang to come. And we'll leave the street in these neighborhoods, head over the river and through the woods.
Hello and welcome to Tavern Tales Junior. This is a podcast for kids. My name is Savannah and I play the role of DJ Ashardalong, a dragonborn.
What type of dragonborn?
A purple one.
And what does she do for her living?
She's part of the Lord Zone, which is an organization that helps people.
And what is her class?
She's a fighter, folk hero, lawfully good.
Awesome stuff. And who is sitting next to you?
Hello, my name is Alex. I play the role of Chris Tuffer, who is a dark elf thief.
And sitting next to you is?
Hi, I'm Robin. I play the role of Sasha Kikian, a wizard tabaxi, whose alignment is lawfully good. And I'm really excited. Let's get going.
Who's also sitting next to Savannah?
Hello, my name is Will, and I play the role of Flash. He's an Eldritch Knight, and he's a human, but is lawfully good.
There we go. Nice. We also have a new player at the table today. Let's just introduce her, but we'll introduce her character in a moment. So who are you?
My name is Caitlin.
Caitlin, how did you come to be at the table today?
Well, my brother Alex plays Dungeons and Dragons.
And here. So you want to play Dungeons and Dragons with your brother?
So I decided I'd try out.
Excellent. How's your brother feel about that?
Boom! Shakalaka!
He's super excited. Yeah, no one on the podcast can see that, just so you know.
Yeah!
Awesome. Excellent. Well, I'm super excited to have you join the game too, Caitlin. Caitlin, how old are you?
I'm 8.
You're 8 years old. We have a new player who is 8 years old, guys. So we're going to help Caitlin, show her the ropes, and show her just how much fun and excitement playing Dungeons & Dragons is. We last played quite some time ago. It's been about 3 weeks since last we played. We've had Christmas, we've had New Year's, and everyone is about to go back to school tomorrow. But today, we're going to have an adventure. But let's just remind everyone at the table what happened last game. So everyone is in the Gouldwick family manor. And in the game before, you had found the Gouldwick special item.
And also the special items of other families.
That was last game, but the previous game you had finally found something, the chalice. What type of chalice was it? Do you remember now? We changed it, remember?
The iron chalice.
You'd found the iron chalice of the Gouldwick family in their vault. You had defeated a mimic and you went out to sneak into the next location that you thought that the Tuffer family golden torque, the golden shroud, possibly was. And while you did find it, some other things happened. So, Savannah, what's one thing that happened last game?
Sasha and I went and found our friends, and also we found a tabaxi that Sasha knew.
Right. Did you find all of your friends, or is someone still missing?
We haven't found the farmer yet.
So that's one thing. Alex, what's another thing that happened last game?
We found out where the farmer could be. We think that he is in the stables, which is a separate building a little ways down from the Gouldwick family manor.
Perfect. What's one thing that happened last game, Will?
We got inside a conversation with everybody else except this new character.
So you had a conversation with everyone at the table. That's true. There was lots of conversations, but you also had a conversation almost. You encountered somebody who was sitting on a throne. Do you remember who that was?
Alex's friend.
Yes, Alex's friend in quotation marks. Did you talk to her at all?
I guess you could say that.
You did? There was a conversation?
Well, we kind of sneak attacked and then destroyed stuff, took someone, and kind of ran out the door. So if you put conversation into that.
And before Sasha and I left, like, the room where the throne was, Sasha said DJ's name. Emma, she said that she will remember DJ's name.
And then, at the very end of the game session, a whole bunch of things happened. There was a lot of running down a hallway to get to the main entrance of the Gouldwick family manor, because in a glass display case in the Gouldwick family manor was what?
The golden shroud.
And what else?
There was the emerald crown. There was the rare mushroom. And I don't remember what the other thing was called.
The diamond bracelet.
And what else was in the foyer, the entranceway, when you got there?
Guards.
That's right. A whole bunch of guards followed in hot on the trails of everyone from the throne room, as well as from the other side of the big sweeping staircase that goes up to the left and up to the right from the main door. Half of the party is downstairs in front of the glass display case, and there's a couple people who are at the top of the left-hand stairs. Guards have rushed in, and time slows down. Everyone moves very, very slowly. A mote of dust hanging in the sunlight hardly moves at all, just kind of hangs there as everything slows down. And we move across the street where, standing on a rooftop of the building just across the street, is a tabaxi figure. Can you describe your character for everyone, Caitlin?
She is a tabaxi with red fur.
Red fur. What color of red fur? Like blood red fur or light red or dark red?
Blood red fur.
And does she have a mane or long hair on her head?
She has a mane.
A mane. And what color is that?
Dark brownish red.
And what is she wearing?
Studded leather.
Studded leather armor. And that's leather armor that covers your whole body to protect you. And it has these metal studs in it to make the armor stronger and stiffer and hold up against attacks from swords and things like that. And so what color is the leather?
It's brown.
And what color are the metal studs in the armor?
They're like a shiny gray color.
Oh, I like that quite a bit. And she's wearing this sparkling necklace that draws the eye. What's this necklace look like?
The necklace has a hook-shaped charm on it. What
type of metal is it made of, or material?
It's like orange metal.
Ooh, interesting. I wonder if that's copper or something like that. Does it have any runes on it? Is there any markings of magic upon it? No? So her hair blows in the breeze of Menzoberranzan. And what's your character's name?
Vulpina.
You have been on the hunt for a very long time now, about 4 years, and you have had to live in the wilderness and eke out an existence there, making friends of the animals, and you made one friend in particular, but we'll get to that in a moment. And you have become skilled as a ranger. You have worked for an adjunct group in the forest of the Lord's Own. What is the name of this ranger group in the forest that is part of the Lord's Own? Yes, what do you think it is?
The Wild Animals.
I like the wild. What else? We call it the wild, Will?
The Wild Water.
Okay, I like that. What do you think, Sav?
The Wild Explorers.
The Wilderness Explorers? What do you guys think?
Yeah.
What do you think, Caitlin? Do you work for the Wilderness Explorers?
Yes.
Excellent. So let's write that down on your character sheet that you work for the Wilderness Explorers, or the WE for short. The Wilderness Explorers has taught you how to be a ranger, and you worked with someone who was a dragonborn named Flamma quite a bit. You have not seen him in a long time. He had an eagle friend, and you haven't seen him since you went on this mission. Recently, you heard that your father had surfaced. He had been missing for a very long time, and you had to grow up alone and without a family. Your father, whose title was the Lilio Minor, was part of your Tabaxi clan, way deep to the south. You have heard that he had surfaced as a servant in Menzoberranzan, and you have spent the last week or two sneaking around Menzoberranzan trying to figure out what family he is a slave to. You have finally found that family. You are standing on a rooftop with your longbow in hand, staring down, and you see a fight about to erupt. There is, in through these stained glass windows of the front door, you can see a couple of people standing in front of a glass display case. Savannah, could you please describe your character for Caitlin?
A purple dragonborn wearing magical purple armor that was too tight and then all of a sudden became the right size when I first got it, and has magical greatsword and a crossbow.
Covered in weapons, tons and tons of weapons, wearing a magical purple breastplate. She's standing in front of the glass display case. Is your character very strong?
Yes.
She has bulging, rippling muscles. She looks super strong and tough. Who else is standing next to you? Who else was in front of the glass display case?
I think it was Georgington.
Georgington was and Flash. Flash, describe your character.
My character has a magical shocking grasp sword.
Yeah, he's got a short sword that has this ripple of electricity always coursing along the edge of it.
And it also sucks up gems, but sometimes they have to be a diamond shape and blue.
Right. And what is your character wearing? Is he wearing armor?
Armor.
And what color is his hair?
Golden. Blue.
And is he a human, right?
Yep.
Is he really strong too, or is he really dexterous?
He's really strong.
And he's wearing armor, and is he carrying a shield?
Yeah.
On his back, right? Who was coming down the stairs? Where was Sasha?
Sasha's pestering Annabelle and Mikey down the stairs.
So coming down the stairs is a Tabaxi. With what color?
Like a tint of light blue, but cyan hair with light blue and dark blue ears and a strictly taken care of tail, wearing wizard robes, who's carrying a wand. Looks like there's a slot cut out for something special.
There is also a ripple of magic coming off her, as though she's wearing armor that is just magic made to deflect blows and weapons. It glitters and glistens around her, but it is not actually a substantial thing. It looks like a spell called mage armor. And then there is someone else. Who else is in the room? And where is Chris?
I'm pretty sure Chris is also on the stairs.
He's also on the stairs? What does he look like?
He is a dark elf with night black skin and blood red eyes.
And what is he wearing?
He is wearing leather armor and a Lord's Own cloak, I'm pretty sure.
That's right. They are all wearing cloaks of the Lord's Own, with the Lord's Own symbol on it. And in fact, Caitlin, Vulpina has a symbol of the Lord's Own as well, but it has a subtle change to it. It has a tree in the background to represent the wilderness explorers, and that is a sigil that she wears on some part of her armor, because her armor was given to her by the wilderness explorers. Okay? So you have to figure out, is it on your shoulder, over your heart, is it on the back or on the leg? You tell me where that sigil is.
On the shoulder.
Yeah, I like that. That's a good choice too. I like right over your heart as well, but the shoulder works really well. Let's say it's on both shoulders, shall we? By the way, nodding, not a podcast thing. Saying yes, a podcast thing. No one can hear you nod. No one can hear you shake your head. Unless you shake your head really, really loud.
Yet again, they can't tell if you're saying.
That's true. No one can tell the difference between a shake or a nod. These characters that they have described for you are not alone. There is also a little halfling girl wearing rags that used to be farmer's daughter clothes, as well as a whole bunch of guards. 8 drow guards. They all have dark scimitars drawn to attack. And coming down the stairs, the last thing, but probably also the first thing that caught your eye is a red tabaxi. An older tabaxi, missing an ear, who looks very tired and very malnourished, which means he looks very hungry. His stomach is thin. He's wearing servant's gray spun robes that are very scratchy. And it is Volpina's father, the Lilio Minor. What was his name, Robin?
Mikey. Yeah.
You have found him. You see a group of the Lord's Own are being attacked and set upon by these drow guards that keep your father prisoner and a slave. I need everyone to roll initiative. What do we do when we do initiative? We all say...
The Lord's Own!
All right, everyone roll initiative, which means a 20-sided die, Caitlin. Ooh, what'd you get, Alex?
A 1.
All right. Make sure you add your initiative modifier to that. Roll it up, Will. And what did you get, Sav?
A 2.
So what was your total?
8.
Very good. Flash has an 8. Volpina has a?
A 20.
20. Holy. Sasha?
An 11.
DJ?
5.
Chris?
5.
Oh my goodness.
Everyone's gonna.
And let's see what the guards get.
A fail. How much guards are there?
Good question. There are 8 guards that have streamed out of either side. 4 from the left and 4 from the right. The ones on the left are coming from the throne room and they have followed you guys down the hallway. The first person to go is Volpina. So Volpina, what would you like to do standing across the street, seeing this through a stained glass door?
If I was correct, last time I remember that Georgington had already smashed the display case.
Right, that was the last thing. Sure, and if it didn't happen, that's what happened now. Georgington was the first to act, and his action was to take his plate mail gauntlet and shatter the door of the display case, causing an alarm to sound throughout the building. Robin, what's an annoying alarm sound that you will do just briefly?
Ching, 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 ching.
Yeah, that's pretty annoying if we had to continue to listen to it. You had an annoying sound you wanted to try, Will? Okay, did anybody else have an annoying alarm sound they wanted to do? Yeah, okay. That's unique. Caitlin had an annoying alarm sound? Okay, it makes all of those sounds. Not individually, but over time, it makes all of those sounds. It is so annoying. Thankfully, Volpina, you can't hear any of that right now. You don't hear any annoying sounds, thankfully. So this annoying alarm sounds to everyone in the room. The glass display case has been shattered. It is Volpina's turn. Now, Volpina, you've never, well, Caitlin has never played D&D before. But Volpina is a skilled and level 5 ranger. She knows what to do. You could, if you want, shoot through the stained glass window of through the door and hit a guard if you wanted to, but that would be a tough shot. Or you could summon your friend to leap through the door. And then when the door's stained glass has been broken by your friend, you could shoot a guard if you wanted to? Or is there some other thing that you would like to do? Would you like to jump down and run through the door yourself? Or some other cool thing?
I like the idea about my friend.
All right. So describe what your character does then. And I'll tell you what another thing that your necklace does. Your friend. Let's describe your friend first. Who is your friend? Who is your ranger friend?
Its name is Maya.
And Maya is a
jaguar.
Does she look like a normal jaguar, or is her fur differently colored with its spots?
She still looks like a normal jaguar.
I'm going to say yes, that she does, but that her fur is more golden than yellow, that it has like this metallic shine to it. And is there anything that Maya has on her? Is Maya wearing anything?
Me and Volpina and Maya both have the same necklace.
The same necklace? Is the hook the same way or is it the other way?
The hook is the same way.
The same way. And is it the same material?
Yep.
Does it have runes on it and glow a little bit too?
No.
All right. Maya can hide in your necklace. And so for the last couple of weeks, Maya has been hiding in the necklace. And with a command word, Maya leaps out at the command word you say. What is the command word to release Maya?
Come out, my faithful beast.
That is amazing! What do you guys think?
I like it.
Yeah, everybody likes that?
Yeah.
Okay, you need to write that down on your character sheet. And it has to, so that is your command word. You say, come out, my faithful beast. And Maya leaps forth from the amulet. Then what does she do? Because you get to direct both Volpina and Maya. What do you send Maya to do? She leaps free from the necklace and...
she jumps out and claws the enemy.
Excellent. Well, she's going to have to jump across the street. Do you think she's going to be able to jump all the way across the street and crash through that stained glass front door?
Yeah.
Excellent. Okay. She's going to have to make a roll, though, because that's a little bit difficult to do. So let's make Maya do an athletics check to jump across the street. So we're going to roll a 20-sided die, and we're going to add some numbers to that and to see if she makes it. And I'm going to say she needs a 12 or higher in order to make that jump and crash through the door. Go ahead, make the roll. What did you get on the die?
Nine.
Well, thankfully, she's +8 to on an athletics check to jump across the street. So 9 + 8 = 17. Is that enough? She leaps across the street, her back arching gracefully, her tail out to keep her balanced. Her forepaws are forward, her back paws are back. She tumbles into the landing of the main door and crashes into the stained glass of the front doors. They are double doors that swing open, and they're both broken as this gigantic cat lands into the fray of the fight going on. We will get everyone's reactions in a second, because as soon as the doors are broken, Volpina readies an arrow and fires it at who?
She shoots one of the guards.
One of the guards that's further back, or a closer one?
A closer one.
A closer guard. So now you're going to roll your attack. I can just ask one question, though. There are feathers fletching on arrows, and you have lots of arrows, and you probably made these arrows yourself. This fletching with the feathers is what color?
Yellow.
It's yellow. Bright yellow? Is it just solid bright yellow, all three of the feathers?
Yeah.
Excellent. And what color is the wood?
Also yellow.
Yellow as well. And then there is a metal tip, the point of the arrow. And what is the metal tip? What color is that?
Shiny gray.
Shining gray. Perfect. Excellent. Really good color. You pull an arrow from your quiver, put it, knock it to the bow, draw back to your ear, and you let it fly. Now roll a d20 to see if you hit the guard. What did you get?
A one.
Oh, no. Now, Volpina, you are a level 5 ranger. You get to add a certain number to your attacks with your longbow. What do you add to that total?
+10.
Excellent. So 1 + 10 is?
11.
And that is not enough to hit one of the guards. It ricochets off his shield and bounces and clatters harmlessly to the floor. But Volpina is a level 5 ranger, and she gets to attack twice, just like certain fighters in the group. So you get to roll again and shoot another arrow. And what is your total there? Remember when I told you upstairs, is I want you to, when you roll the die, you always will add the number next to the longbow on the attack roll to it. So what is the total?
27.
Oh my goodness. The arrow punctures through his chain shirt and catches him where? Where does it hit him?
In his chest.
Perfect. Right in the chest. And he goes, and he makes a sound when it hits him in the chest. What's that sound that he makes, Alex?
Ugh.
Yeah, I would make that sound. What would you have said, Will? That the alarm starts to make that sound. This arrow suddenly comes from nowhere. Now, that was your turn, but you get to roll your damage. How much damage did you do to this guard that you hit with your arrow? You're going to roll a d8, remember, for damage, and you get to add a number to it on your sheet.
I got an 11.
Oh, wow. 11 damage kills the guard. He makes the one cry that Alex made, and he falls to the ground. His scimitar falls out of his hand. His shield falls from his other arm. They both land with a clatter. He was on the stairs. He had about 4 or 5 stairs left. He falls forward and rolls down the stairs to lay there lifeless on the floor. You have killed a Gouldwick family guard. Now, that was Volpina's turn. It is now Sasha's turn. Sasha, you thought that you were fighting 8 guards. Now you're only fighting 7 guards. And not only that, but someone is shooting bright yellow arrows from across the street into the bad guys. As well, there is a jaguar in the main entranceway, snarling and getting up onto its feet, looking to attack the guard that is right in front of it. What would you like to do, Sasha?
Firebolt.
You summon a ball of fire to your hand, and you use your magic words of...
Fire, uncanny, destruction!
Excellent. And you levy it at what, at a guard coming down the stairs, or...
I'm not going to fire at the jaguar just yet.
No, that's probably a good idea.
I'm going to fire at the guard trying to kick Mikeyere in the face.
Excellent. Yes, there's a guard just behind Mikeyere. He's about to attack him, and you shoot at the guard. Please roll to hit. And what did you get?
16.
That is enough to hit. Just barely hit these guards. Now roll your damage.
I do one damage.
You did what?
I do 1 damage.
How do you do 1 damage with 2d10?
Oh, I rolled these, the ones with
them. So a 0 is what?
0 is nothing.
No, you can't do nothing. You always do some damage.
10?
So that's right. So you did a total of?
10 damage.
No, because you also got a...
Oh, I won, so I got 11?
11 damage. 11 damage kills the guard. Where did you hit him to do so much damage to kill him with your firebolt?
I noticed that there was like a slit between where his helmet was and where his like main armor was. And so I aimed right for where that slit was, and it ended up being close to his throat.
Oh my goodness.
And so I got his throat.
Flame gouts and burns his throat, and his head falls off.
Ow.
And he dies. And his helmeted head...
And he makes a sound.
Actually, he doesn't make a sound because she got him in the throat. His helmeted head, though, bangs and clatters and rolls down the stairs.
Can I make the sound of the bang?
Sure.
Oh my, this is dead.
That sounds perfect. As the helmeted head rolls down the stairs, the body falls into Mikeyere, and he moves out of the way to let it fall. And it, too, slides down the stairs.
Hurry up, Mikeyere.
It is now... the guards turn, and there are 6 of them. And one of the guards is going to attack Maya the Jaguar. And he misses, and Maya dodges out of the way. And one of the guards attempts to attack Christopher with his scimitar. And he also misses as Christopher is able to slide out of the way. And another one of the guards attempts to hit DJ with a crossbow. And he misses, and it clatters harmlessly off the cobblestones of the floor. And one of the guards attempts to stab Flash with his sword. And he misses. I'm rolling horribly. I haven't rolled higher than a four. What?
What? Everyone missing.
My gosh, these guards have terrible aim.
Yes. All of the good guys are hitting, but all the
bad guys are missing.
Yes.
What is up with these guys?
What are you guys, golf commentators?
I'm a golf commentator.
Yeah. I don't even know what that is.
Just remember, guys, golf commentators whisper when they're doing their commentations. So, Savannah, you wanted to say something?
That's sort of how I roll sometimes.
That's how lots of people roll. That was four of their attacks, but there are still two other guards. No. And one of the guards attempts to hit Sasha. And he hits her. Finally, someone hits Sasha.
Finally, a guard with okay aim.
He stabs you with his scimitar, doing 4 damage. The last guard will attack Georgington.
Georgington, watch out!
He will hit Georgington, also doing 4 damage. And Georgington says, "What? Ho!" And he hasn't had a turn to attack yet either. So, that was the guard's turn. It is now Flash's turn, followed by DJ.
Hit the guy, but hit Sasha.
Okay, perfect. All right, roll your d20 to hit. What do you get?
21.
That is enough to hit with Flash's attack. So you get to roll a d8 with your short sword.
2.
A 2, and you get to add your strength modifier to that, which is...
5.
Very good. You got a 5. So now roll your next attack, because you get to attack twice. Roll to hit. Yep. There you go. Roll it away. That is a hit. You definitely hit the guy. And now you get to roll your D8 again.
3 plus 3 equals 6.
And that is 11 total. And that is enough to kill him as well. So where did you stab him twice to kill him? In the eye?
Oh. And it went back through his hair.
And it went out the other side of his head? So I'm going to say your first attack cut the face mask of his helmet off and did a whole bunch of damage. And then you just swung and stabbed him again and you killed him. His head gets stuck on your sword.
And I stabbed him right on the other eye.
Oh my goodness. So you have killed him utterly. He doesn't also get to cry because he died right away. His head, though, gets stuck on your sword, and you have to work to try to pull your sword free. And of course, because of that, there is blood all over your character. So you have done a very, very brutal strike and attack. DJ, it is now your turn, followed by Chris. Roll your hit and roll your damage.
16.
Plus all of your other bonuses, right?
7, so 23.
Awesome. And then you get to roll your 2d6. You've killed him brutally.
11.
How did he die? How did this guard die?
I stabbed him through the heart.
Oh, right through his armor too, his chain shirt. Her greatsword, her magical greatsword, parts the chains like they were soft butter that had been left out of the fridge, and goes right into his chest, and he gurgles and dies. Can somebody...
I think DJ's chest plate might have done the magic to make us get dodged.
Maybe. Can somebody do a gurgle... Caitlin, can you do a gurgle death for this guard? That's how he dies? This is kind of a... You get another attack, DJ. What do you do with your second attack?
I'm gonna use my greatsword again.
All right, you wheel around with your greatsword. There's another guard on the stairs near you.
I'm gonna attack that one. 20.
20 is more than enough to hit. You hit him, roll your 2d6 damage.
15.
Oh my goodness.
And last time was a 16.
Yeah, I know, it's even higher last time. He dies as well. I'm going to say, when you stabbed this first guard through the chest, you also stabbed the other guard through the chest. So you have created a shish kebab of guards. There is very little room on the end of your sword now because you have 2 guards on it. And that was DJ's turn. There is only 3 guards left. Christopher, It'll be your turn, followed by Volpina for her second action.
I will leap forward with Sort Sword at the guard that tried to strike me.
Absolutely. Roll away with Sort Sword.
I got an 11.
That is not enough to hit him in his chain shirt and his shield. You have missed. Is there anything
Daddy,
else you'd like to
I
do
tell
in your turn?
You my sword's name? It's called Lightning Sword.
Cool. You only get the one attack. Would you like to take a bonus action to dash away or to disengage or to move in some way away from him?
Sure, I'll move away from him so that it will be harder for him to hit me.
Absolutely, sounds great. Georgington's turn before Volpina. Georgington grabs the golden shroud and puts it in his bag. Then he grabs the emerald bracelet. Or is it the emerald crown?
Emerald crown, diamond bracelet.
He grabs the emerald crown and the diamond bracelet and puts them in his bag. And then he takes the golden mushroom and he tosses it to Flash, because he knows how much Flash loves golden mushrooms. Yeah, that's probably what Flash will do. Then that was
going to be the gift for the queen that we were going to give that for the...
Right, I do believe that that's what he'll do. But that is the end of the first round of combat. Now it'll be Volpina's turn. It is the top of the round, and it is Volpina's turn. And Maya's turn as well. So don't forget, your jaguar will also get to take an action. What would you like to do?
I am going to shoot one of the guards, and then Maya is going to pounce on that guard.
All right, let's see what happens. Remember, you also get to shoot twice. So shoot a guard with your longbow. 7 plus?
17.
That is enough to hit. Roll your damage.
10.
Oh my god, he reels back. He doesn't quite die though. He has a hit point left. Do you want to attack him again, or are you going to attack a different guard? What would you like to do?
I'm going to attack him again.
Another arrow from across the street. Bright yellow streaks of light that find their way into the bodies of these
unfortunate souls.
26.
That's more than enough to hit. Roll your damage. Where did it hit him?
Hits him through his heart.
Oh my gosh. The first arrow hits him in the chest and rips his chain shirt, and the other arrow lands right in the same spot, angling just slightly to hit him in the heart. It penetrates his heart. It tries to beat around this yellow wooden shaft of an arrow. It stops. He gurgles. Can somebody gurgle? And dies. He sinks to his knees and he whispers, "But my family," as he falls to his knees. He said that in the drow language, and then he dies.
Why do we always have to kill people?
That's a good question. What is Maya the Jaguar going to do?
She is going to pounce on another one of the guards.
All right. There are two guards left. She turns and growls. Can somebody growl for... Okay. Let's let Caitlin growl for the jaguar. Very good. And pounces. Now, the guard isn't close to her. He's almost at the top of the stairs. But Maya simply turns and leaps to the top of the stairs right onto the guards with her claws out, all four legs landing on the guard. Roll your to hit for Maya. All right, that is enough to hit.
Okay.
So you get to do a d6 plus 6 damage for Maya.
A 5.
5 plus 6 is?
11.
Is that enough to kill the guard?
Based off of what we know, they have 11 health.
Yes, the guard dies. There is only one guard left in the room, and it is Sasha Kikian's turn.
Ha ha ha. Okay, it's time to rage. I'm going to use Firebolt.
Same spell command as last time.
10.
That is not enough to hit. It misses the guard. A beautiful tapestry that was hanging on the wall of the Gouldwick family manor. It was needlepoint done by the grandmother or the grandfather of the Gouldwick family. It is hit by this firebolt and bursts into flame.
Oh no.
Exactly.
It was like 1967 or something when it was created, and it was so old, and it was created when they first stole the diamond bracelet.
Wow. That's so a long time ago. They've had the diamond bracelet for forever. With that, it is now the guard's turn. And this guard who was at the top of the stairs turns and runs away. He realizes that you guys are just brutally killing his comrades with one swipe, one strike. So he turns and runs from the fight as quickly as he can. And no one else at the top of the stairs on that side can get him with an attack of opportunity. He flees back towards the ruler, the leader of the Guldwick family. Does anybody remember her name?
Chari.
That's right. He runs back to Chari, who you can hear is coming down the hall. She's screaming at the top of her lungs to get the one named DJ and slay her.
I'm sorry.
You're the one who mentioned my name.
Well, you want to come with me? I'm sorry.
I'm going to yell, everybody sprint for the door.
Especially me.
Rant, rant.
On your turn, which is now everyone's turn, you all turn, you help Mikey Air and Annabelle are brought down the stairs and helped by who? Who helps them down the stairs? Yep. And
I do.
Who? Anybody else?
Guys, we need people to help them down the stairs or DJ and the rest of us might get slain.
Everyone helps them. As you make your way through the broken doors, you note that the Jaguar follows you out. And standing across the street, you see a blood-red tabaxi carrying a longbow.
I jump down to the street below.
Kate, can you describe your jump?
I do a flip in the air.
And she lands gracefully and lightly on her feet like any good tabaxi would.
Do I recognize her?
You don't quite recognize her, but Mikey Air does. And he goes, Albina? My daughter? Here?
Mikey Air, you know her?
Sasha.
She's a part of our tribe?
That's my daughter. She was born after the tribe had been dispersed. Is Volpina's mom still alive?
No.
She was saved from destruction and death by her mother. I have not seen her since she was...
sick.
It's been 8 years since I saw her.
That's around the same time that you went missing.
I've been gone so much longer than that. In many ways. Thank you so much. But now is not the time for heartfelt conversations and remembrances and familial greetings. Now is the time to...
run.
Go save the farmer.
Exactly. You need to save the farmer.
Volpina, come on. We have to go get Arabella's dad.
As you guys turn to run, Mikey Air is torn. He wants to stay with Volpina, but he wants to go with Sasha and the rest of the group. Volpina, do you want to go with the group? They all look to be upstanding members of the Lord's Own. Everyone here, when she landed, saw emblazoned on her shoulders the Lord's Own Wilderness Explorers, which also is the same insignia on Flamma's Lord's Own vest, because he was part of the Wilderness Explorers. What do you do, Volpina? Do you go with them?
I go with them.
You turn and you run back down the street, and Maya follows and then suddenly sucks herself back into your necklace. Which causes everyone to be taken aback. Because you've never seen an animal get pulled into a necklace before. Have you?
No.
No.
I have.
You have? Well, Flash, you've seen everything.
My mom had one.
What?
That's a cool story.
Well, his mom was a ranger.
Oh my gosh.
You turn and you run. You take a couple of side streets. It doesn't take very far to get to the stables of the Guldwicks. But there are three guards standing out front of the stables. And the stable doors are they closed or are they open?
Open!
Okay. And the stable doors are open. And therefore, dimly inside, if you have a passive perception score of 14 or higher, you can see inside the stables. Now, you don't roll passive perception. You just have it. Everyone, your passive perception score is at the bottom of your attributes. And for Caitlin, it's not written in yet. DJ, what's your passive perception?
13.
Chris,
12.
What's your passive perception, Sasha?
14.
14. What's your passive perception, Caitlin? You don't have it yet, but I'll tell you right now, yours is 17. Can you write that on your little spot there where you need to put it? And yours, Flash, I do believe is...
13.
So the two of you peer into the gloom of the stables, and you can see what looks to be an older halfling man in gray, drab clothes scooping manure into a bucket.
Oh, what's the farmer's dad's name?
I don't think we ever decided on what the farmer's name is.
For his name, I want it to be Sor.
Sor? How about Sorlin?
Sorlin.
We're going with it. Sorlin is the farmer's name.
Sorlin, come with us. We're leaving.
The guards bristle as they see you charge up. Most of you covered in blood. And they pull out their swords as you charge forward, turn, and run into the stables. We will not roll initiative. You guys can approach the stables on your own. As you see into the gloom within, can I get perception checks from everyone?
I got a 21.
Good job.
I got a 2.
Then you add your perception score to that, which I believe for you is 7. So you got a 9 7. Total. 7 for Robin. What did you get, Chris?
A 15.
And what did DJ get?
19.
All right. Anybody who got higher than 12, which is just these three people here, they all can see that there are some crazy looking animals inside the stables. Would you like to see a picture of them?
Okay.
Sure.
I don't want to fight them. They're probably gross looking.
Don't make them eat.
I'm going to ride on one.
He's using Volo's Guide to Monsters, so it's going to be a monster.
A monster.
It's going to look really weird.
They look like this. Right here.
Oh, they're giant spider things.
Cool. Spidery things.
Creepy.
And you can see the one in the picture here actually has a hand holding a dagger.
That is so cool.
So they have two hands in the front, a whole bunch of eyes,
they
look very dangerous.
They remind me of Dryder.
These ones, because they're in the stable, they don't have daggers, right?
Well, the one in the picture has a dagger. You can't tell if they have daggers or weapons at all. All you know is that the three guards turned and ran into the stables. And inside the stables lurk several of these horrible-looking creatures.
How many are there?
That you can't tell. You can discern a couple, but you don't know how many there are for sure. Just through the doors. Actually, you only see one through the doors. But it's likely that if these are the things that are kept in the stables, then there are many of them.
Like at least 5.
Less than 5. The guards rush into the stables. The group of you stalwart adventurers need to decide what to do, but we will do that next game.
You're wondering if I go wandering with you. What kind of trouble we'll get ourselves into? Would it be wrong to tag along with a band of vagabonds? You wonder if I'd wander with you. So I'll spread the word and you beat the drum. We'll round up the troops. Come, and we'll leave the streets.
This concludes this episode of Tavern Tales Junior. We'll be back in 1 month with a brand new episode. Our intro and outro music is Through the Woods by Okie Dokie Brothers. Find their music on iTunes by checking them out at www.okiedokie.org and follow them on Twitter at Okie Dokie Bros. We love a review on iTunes. Check us out on Twitter, Tavern_Tales. See you all later.
I'm wondering if you'd come wandering my way. If you ever get lost, or if the trail leads you astray. The music of the pack can always bring you back. I wonder, can we wander away? And I'll spread the word, and you beat the drum. Round up the troops, and get the gang to come. And we'll leave the streets and these neighborhoods, head over the river.
Blah, 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 blah. What if someone made their own, like, manuals for their own games? Like, their own monsters, their own things, but they can... And you can be your own thing. You can be a flame dragon, but can go through water.